Good morning.
Morning.
It's good to see you all again. I do miss being here. I took a week off to, although it wasn't vacation, it was a week of study, of work and some classes. I need a little bit of break where I can focus on some of my studies, but I do miss being here. I love being in the house of the Lord. It does something for my soul. It does something to be with you all. It does something, not only whether I'm behind the pulpit or in front of the pulpit, it does a lot to my heart to spend time with you all, and I appreciate you all coming out here and being with me as well. Is the video going? Are we at it? Okay. We're having some technical challenges with our slides as well this morning. If we need to, Brian, we can just go without. What's that?
Go without
which? I'm talking about the slides, the PowerPoint slides.
Okay, I can give you one and not the other, I think.
Okay, we'll just go without the PowerPoint slides for now.
Okay.
That's fine. God is asking for the impossible. God is asking us for the impossible. In our own strength. Isaiah 55, 58 through 59 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I don't know about that, about you, but in some way I look at that and that's a little overwhelming to think, well, okay, then I'm supposed to think like you. We're supposed to, the New Testament, we're told to have the mind of Christ, to think and pursue and live and allow ourselves to view things in the way God does. And yet at the same time, He tells us His ways are much higher than our ways. Our main text this morning comes from Romans. And if you have your Bible and you want to turn with me, I'm going to be in Romans chapter 11, verses 33, and then going into the first couple verses in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways. Paul here now in the New Testament is again acknowledging what we just read in Isaiah. His ways are above our ways. They are deep. They are beyond us to individually grasp, regardless of how well our parents may have raised us or how the friends that we have, no matter how wise they may be, no matter what televangelists we may watch, no matter who our pastor is, no matter whether even in picking up His Word, you need to understand His ways are above our ways. I don't know about you, but I am, on the one hand, it's overwhelming and I realize it's beyond me, but at the same time, I find some peace in my heart knowing that I serve a God that's knowledgeable, that is above my ways. His thoughts are beyond mine. Verse 34, "But who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been His counselor? Who has the full grasp?" Sadly, I think sometimes we can each of us find our ways, find ourselves sometimes thinking that we have it all figured out. Paul's reminding us, who truly has that? Who can be His counselor? Verse 35, "Or who has given Him a gift to Him that He might be repaid?" Who's truly given anything to God and that now God owes you something? Verse 36, "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen." All things are for Him. All things are through Him. All good things in this life, as James says, comes down from Him. He deserves honor and praise forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your wisdom. We thank You for Your ability to understand and to know what's going on in each of our lives, What's going on in our cities, our states, our countries, in the world? You know it all. You created us. I ask you to help each of us here this morning to pause and to set aside all the stuff that's going on in the world and send some all in you and seek out opportunities that we may be able to do what we can from our side to reach out and embrace what it is that you're trying to do through our lives, through our communities, through our nation, through the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've come to share something with you this morning that we, none of us want to know completely all the time. And I can tell you the vast majority of the world don't want to know. God created us and we moved. We moved from Him. We turned from Him. We started out as perfect and we become deformed. We started out with life, peace, and a clear, continual connection with our God, and we turn from Him in the garden, and it's still continuing going on. God is inviting His creation to move back from imperfection and towards perfection, to move back from death and eternal separation from God to life and eternal peace with God. He is creating, He is inviting all of His creation to move back. I ask you to pause for a moment and look around, not only in your own life, but in your own communities and in the world. Is His creation turning back? I can tell you from my own perspective, as I look around, it doesn't appear as though much of His creation is turning towards Him. God is asking us in some ways, again, from what we're told who God is, to do the impossible. Back in Romans now, reading the first two verses of chapter 12. Because of all these things, because of God's knowledge is so great, because He is so powerful, because He knows things we do not know, because we do not, He owes us nothing. But we owe Him everything. The Apostle Paul says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Paul here is appealing to fellow Christians. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, sisters, those of you who proclaim yourselves to be followers of Jesus Christ. That's important to note. He's not calling on the world. Listen, the world is not going to turn to God. Only the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are going to turn to God. Really, it is only the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ that can turn to God, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by Him. So Paul is imploring. He's not really speaking to the world. He's speaking to those who have proclaimed to be followers of Jesus Christ. And note too, in the sense that he's asking us, it also tells us that we have a choice. We can choose. We can choose to follow. We can choose to not follow, but yet there are consequences to those decisions. He's calling us to be holy, to set apart, to be special and acceptable unto God, and He calls out, this is our spiritual worship. You know, Jesus at one point talked to the lady at the well. He said, at some point there's no worship going to have anything to do with any temple. We worship in spirit and truth. We worship wherever we are as we seek to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's also in all that we do. It's not just about what we do on Sunday. I'll tell you here this morning, I believe God is more interested. Listen, praise God. I'm glad you're here and glad you're listening. It's important that we do that. It's extremely valuable that we do that. And I want to tell you, God is more concerned about what you're doing Monday morning. We're not just here to punch a tab or check a box that we've done something for God. Listen, God wants it all. He doesn't want your Sunday morning. He wants your Sunday night. He wants your Monday morning, your Monday night. He wants it all. Doesn't he have a right to ask that of us? Paul says, be not conformed or be an imitation of the world, but rather be transformed or changed, renewed. We want our minds to begin to be changed and to be more and more like God. And then he says that you may discern what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The Holy Spirit led Paul to write these words nearly 2,000 years ago, but I can tell you they're just as valuable and important to us today. God, through Paul, was writing, asking his special creation, the part that was created in his very image, to respond as he leads us. Much of God's creation has this general innate sense of what they should do. Right, a squirrel does not communicate with God. A tree does not communicate with God. We have the ability to personally communicate with God.
Amen.
And grow and learn and become more and more like Him. And out of love, He's given us a choice. It's not about instincts. He's given us a choice. I don't know about you, but that amazes me, that kind of love. That He loves us, giving us a choice. How are we doing concerning turning towards Him? Turning back towards Him and honoring Him with our lives? How is the world doing? How is your community doing? And more importantly, how are you doing? How did you do last week? How did you do last night? And how are you going to do this week? God is not only calling us to avoid sin, but is calling us to choose righteousness. You know what? I believe sometimes we get too worried sometimes as Christians of the things that we should not do. I believe if we focus more on those things that we ought to do, those things that we should not do, will begin to fall away on their own. Do those things that you know, that you sense in your heart, that you ought to be doing. Paul warns us that the world is continually trying to transform us, conform us to its image. You know, it's true, whether you're on social media, whether you're looking at the TV, whether you're opening a magazine, whether you're sitting amongst your friends, they're continually attempting to transform you, to conform you to their ways. It's happening. Whether it's intentional or not, it is happening. They are doing it. I'm not suggesting that anything and everything that you ever pick up, that there's some nefarious evil action going on behind it to try to turn you into some zombie that simply follows them. But listen, whatever they are doing as you're listening, as you're taking part in it, whatever you spend most of your time with, it is drawing you to think in a different way. The Bible tells us that the world and all that opposes God in it is governed by the devil. The Apostle Paul calls the devil the god of this world, little g. There is a devil. There is evil in this world. Truthfully, there's also evil, that old flesh that we also have to battle with in our own lives. Jesus died to deliver us from this world and the devil and the power over us. We need to embrace that. We need to hold on to that power. We need to remind the devil that power was given to us through Jesus Christ. We need to call him to get behind us. What is the effect upon the believer, again, who hardly seeks these things out? I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I've just thought, God, why don't you put it under my pillow? Just a little note. This is what you should do. Paul here is telling us, as we go along the pathway, as we are doing those things that are right and good, then we will be able to more discern what it is that God asked us to do. One of the amazing things to me in the interchange with Moses and God at the burning bush is at one point, if you remember the story, if you know your Bible, Moses is wrestling with it. Moses did not want to do what God was asking him to do. Who am I? I can't do this. I can't even talk. I'm not capable. And then he wants some kind of proof. Well, give me some proof, Lord. What proof do you have for me? I think it's interesting. Go back and look if you've not noticed it. In a sense, God says, hey, I'll tell you the proof. The proof is once you do what I've asked you to do, when you get back on this mountain, then you'll know. Once you begin to walk that pathway, then you'll know. Amen. When you're putting those things into practice, I want to tell you, if you just pick up this book and put it back down and do nothing with that information, you're not going to know the will of God. You need to put into practice those things that you know that you ought to be doing. And in that process, God will give you more clarity as to what you ought to be doing. Give you some more peace. I want to mention two specific things that I believe will help you become transformed. Help you to answer God's call to come back to Him. The first one is to use your gifts to honor Him. Your gifts, your ability, your time, your talents, use them to honor Him. Dive deeply into those things that He's given you. You know, the world tells you the opposite, right? Whatever gifts and talents you got, you take those and you put yourself up on a pedestal. You get all you can get out of it. You take your moment, your time, your abilities, and you put it all so that you can raise your bank account, so that you can make yourself look great or your family look great. It's what the world says. You be that person that everyone else looks to because of your talents and your gifts and your abilities. The Bible tells us that whatever you do it as unto the Lord. Whatever you do. Listen, if you're at home taking care of your children, if you're a grandmother, a grandfather taking care of your children, if you're shoveling the snow, if you're an electrician, if you work with computers, whatever you do, do those things as if the Lord had directed you to do them. Look at it as if as you were open up the book and your name was there and says, this is your task today. Do those things that God has gifted you to do as unto the Lord. Think about it from that perspective. It will help you choose to live for Him if you think about it, that this is what I'm doing for God. I'm an electrician 40 hours throughout the week, Monday through Friday. It's not as if I take my God hat off and I become an electrician for those 5 days. You know what? I really believe in many ways, maybe this is a little too strong, in some ways that's more important than what I'm saying here, right? What you're doing Monday through Friday is more important than the time we spend here.
Amen.
When we're putting it on a personal level, for me, because as I'm doing those things that God has gifted me and given me the ability to do, the time to do it, the opportunity to do it, as I give those things over to Him, truly, with the best way I can from all my heart, if I give those things over to Him, I realize they too are worship. This is the opportunity for me to truly live out those things that God teaches in His Word. It's easy to come to church and to be nice. It's not so easy to go to work and be nice. It's not so easy to deal with your family and be nice. This is what God is calling us to do. Again, take that approach that whatever you're doing, do it as unto the Lord. The world says, take that gift and honor yourself and take advantage of it. And God says, no, that's not the way you need to be doing it. Treat it as if God had directed you. These are the things I want you to do Monday, and do them as unto Him. Secondly, love. I have to be honest with you. When I think about that subject, I find myself continually hitting on that subject. And sometimes I think, well, have I said it too much? But God, the Bible tells us that God is love. And whatever we are doing come Monday morning, if we're not doing it for love, then we're doing it with love in our heart. And this is not about feelings. This is about action. With a desire in our heart to love others, then we're not fulfilling God's will in our lives. We're called to be kind to one another as if it was a loving family member. Whoever it is in your life that you might say is most important to you, that you would do anything for, God's telling you to think about this. Think about those individuals that you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis as if they were that person. That's the kind of attitude that we should be having. Paul says to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Don't be jealous when someone else goes up on the mountaintop. They get higher, a pay raise. They get something that you might have wanted or you thought you deserved. In love, we should embrace them and celebrate them while they are on the mountaintop. And also, we should not ignore those who are troubled. What is Paul saying in this? And rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Take interest in other people. Treat them as if they were more important than yourself. Care for them. Again, whether they're on the mountaintop or whether they're in the valley, pay attention. This is work. It's easy for us to get caught up in our own issues. Take the time to think about others. And also in love, obviously we're to seek to have unity with fellow Christians, but yet we're also told to live peaceably, if at all possible, with everybody. I know that's not possible. There are some that is extremely hard to live peaceably with. But if all possible, that is how we should choose to live out our day. In acts. Not about the feelings. It's about acting in that way. Bless those who persecute you. If an enemy is in need and you have provision, take care of him. In God's world, those that forgive are the winners. And those who obtain revenge or hold that vengeance desire upon others, they are the ones who lose. To love our enemies and do good to them is a concept foreign to the world. But listen, that is the mind of God. That is how He wants us to be thinking about other people. It's a supernatural work that God has called us to do. But listen, I'm going to tell you, He will never ask us to do something that He will not also equip us if we rely upon Him. In doing these two, you can overcome the evil in your life, as well as begin to now transform your families, transform your communities, transform your world. This is how God intended us to make a difference as we choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. What God has said is bad, consider it wrong, and fight to avoid it. And yes, it is a fight. I don't care how strongly you want to be good and perfect and right before God. It is a fight. It is a battle. Don't forget that. It's a battle for all of us. You might think someone else has got it all figured out, but I'm going to tell you, if you spend all day with them, you listen to everything they say, especially if you're in their mind, you realize none of us have it all figured out. God's ways are higher than our ways. We need to seek them out, but nobody amongst us has reached that level, ever will reach that level. God will always be God, and we will be one of His created beings. God is asking for the impossible. But yet the Bible tells us that God is coming alongside of us. Those who put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll come alongside us and give us the strength that we need so that we can never make an excuse. On the one hand, I find comfort in that. On the other hand, it's a little humbling too, right? Every time I make a decision that dishonors God, the responsibility needs to lay right here. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 11 through 14, No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I can tell you on the one hand, again, I find comfort in that scripture. On the other hand, it's humbling. I don't have an excuse. Yes, maybe someone in my life has mistreated me. Maybe I wasn't raised in a certain way. Maybe my community is making it hard for me. Maybe where I work, where I'm now being able to support my family, is hard for me to act that way. And all of that may be very well true. But it's not an excuse for us to dishonor God with our lives. We have no excuses. His ways are high, but He's given us opportunities to turn to Him. It's not easy. Praise be to God. You can overcome the evil in your life. Whatever it is you're wrestling with, listen, don't give up. Keep fighting it. You know, you might find yourself, some aspects of your life, you'll fight it till you're 6 feet under, but it's worth it. The return that you get by choosing to honor Him, it's worth it. So we be transformed into thinking like God by diving deeply into doing those things that He's gifted us to do and doing them in a way that's honoring Him. All of us aren't called to be pastors and missionaries. All of us are not called to go and serve the sick all of our days. Each and every one of us, though, has gifts and abilities, times and talents. Paul would tell us, God, the Word of God tells us to put those things and to work for Him. Work within those things, regardless of where you're at in life, regardless of your limitations that you might see. God has empowered you to do something that's an honor to Him. And secondly, do it all. Whatever you do, do it with love towards others. And how about you? It's encouraging to be reminded that the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. If we do those things with a desire to truly love others, those mistakes, those dumb things we do begin to be much more easily accepted. Not only by God, but also by those we are attempting to love. Doing these two things will guide you to overcome evil with good. You will be transforming not only yourself, but also your families, your communities. Romans 12 and 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Better be wrong with me to not leave you with a warning. This requires us to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to trust in Him. We got to choose to say, I trust in what You did for me on the cross of Calvary. I'm not good enough, God. I know that. But praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ is good enough. I'm trusting in Him. I'm trusting the guidance that You give me is going to be enough. Remember that I said that Paul invited fellow Christians. Again, this invitation must start with putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus once said it clearly, you're either for me or against me. You're either going about your day in such a way that honors God, or you're going about your way in honor to the world and to the devil and to evil. That's the easy way to go. That's the easy path. It's not easy following the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, even as a Christian, we still have a choice. But in order to do these things, whether you want to be a Christian or whether you want to be good at some other, you want to be good at sport, you want to be good in carpentry, you want to be good at painting, then you need to hang around those people who are doing those things so that they can help sharpen you. It is so important, especially in what's going on today with the virus. Our concerns about spending time in church and things like that. And I understand that we need to work towards figuring out ways to continue to communicate with fellow Christians who are having desires to do those things that honor God. You hang around with a stinker long enough, you too will eventually begin to stink. That is a natural response. We need to be careful. Yes, God is asking for the impossible. Are you up to the task by yourself? No, you're not, but with the Lord Jesus Christ. You and the Lord Jesus Christ does make it possible for you to do these things. Matthew 5 and 48, Jesus actually said at one point, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And I'll be honest with you, many times when I read that scripture, I thought, what is it? What do you mean be perfect? This is not a salvation verse. Our salvation is based on the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe what Jesus is saying to us is seek for those moments. Reach for that. Never give up with the desire that I want my life to be honorable. I want Monday morning to be just as honorable to God as Wednesday night. I want my Thursday morning to be just as honorable as my Sunday morning. I want it all to be honorable. That we should seek that. That we should always have that view that this is where I want to be. Yet at the same time knowing we're not perfect. God is asking for the impossible, but He's also equipping us to do it. He equips us through His Word. We need to be spending individual time reading His Word, verifying what that pastor said is right and good. We also need to be listening to the Holy Spirit, and we need each other. God is asking for the impossible, and in our own strength, we can't get it done. But with God and the Lord Jesus Christ, fellow Christians, spending time in the Word of God, we can move ourselves in that direction where we can be transformed. Our minds can be transformed, but we can also be transforming our own communities that we're around. Yes, God's creation has moved, but there is hope, and that hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we ask You to be with each of us. Help us to ponder right now where we are. Are there some things that we need to embrace? Are there some things maybe that we need to let go of? Give us the wisdom, Father. Most of all, if there be somebody here this morning who's yet made that decision to put their faith in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, let this be the day. Let this be a day of salvation. Lord, if there be something that someone here may be struggling with, that they know is not good, that they know is not honorable, let this be the day that they begin to step towards moving away from that. Seeing that ultimately what it is You have for us, even though it is hard, what You have for us is so much more better for us. Help us to find a peace. And help us to make a difference in the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If the Lord's speaking to your heart in any way, if you have a desire to come and come to the altar and pray, we invite you to come.
Please stand as we sing "How Great Thou Art."
Savior God, to Thee, how great It's raining outside, dear Lord, but we have your sun shining in our hearts. Help us, dear Lord, to understand that we need to be transformed, that we need to shine our lights so that others can see, that we might lift them out of the rainy day that they're having, dear Lord, and give them a hope for tomorrow. Whatever we do, wherever we are, wherever we go, we know that you walk with us, that you guide us, that you direct us. Help us to be open, dear Lord, to your word and use it in our lives. Just go with us, walk with us, and we thank you so much for this day. Be with us until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Lord willing, we'll see you Wednesday.
My sister had us, and I was with her. And then my brother has a call.
I'm going to do that.